The Devin Tucker Story, Human Trafficking, Survivor Service.
Right here in the U.S., thousands of kids are trafficked and prosecuted every year. The myth is it's just women and girls.
That is patently false. Although certainly IOM statistics will show that the majority of people we've assisted have been women and girls trafficked for sexual exploitation.
Human trafficking is the fastest growing criminal industry in the world, generating more than $150 billion a year.
The reality is that boys and men are also subject to exploitation sexually.
People think that boys can get away, that boys can handle it, and they don't understand issues like trauma bonding with your trafficker and the fact that these young people are hooked on drugs, that the trafficker is getting hooked on drugs, and they don't understand that they're beaten into submission and that it's human slavery.
We have found that boys are at higher risk of trafficking for sexual exploitation.
Boys are often made invisible due to these kind of regressive assumptions about gender, which reinforce the idea that males are perpetrators and all females are victims.
We shall see. We shall see this evening. Worldwide listeners, join us tonight on Let's Do a Radio. Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. Human trafficking, male survivorship, the Devin Tucker story. This is a deep story, so looking forward to hearing what Devin has to say, but he's got to show up first. So I'm your hostess, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anaisako Designs, broadcasting to you and welcoming you, the worldwide listening audience, on this Tuesday, February the 6th, 2024. You can call in at 845-241-9985 to be on the air and to chat with us, or you can Skype or listen in the chat room at www.theblogtalkradio.com/letsdoaradio. Or if you know my telephone number, a lot of people like to hit me up on text. And in case you miss any episode, you can go on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/letsdoaradio. All right. My man is calling in, so hold on just a second. Just hold on. All right, listeners, our caller just called in, and he's going to be joining us in just a few. So to donate to keep Let's Do a Radio on the air, you can donate to Cash App at $ANAISCVALCOUR or through Venmo at MZ-INEZ, or if you know myself, Mattel, you can always hit me up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You can always hit me up. So this is going to be quite an interesting topic this evening on human trafficking. The definition of human trafficking is the unlawful act of transporting or coercing people in order to benefit from their work or service, typically in the form of forced labor or sexual exploitation. Human trafficking is the business of stealing freedom for profit. In some cases, traffickers trick, defraud, or physically force victims into providing commercial sex. In others, victims are lied to, assaulted, threatened, and manipulated into working under inhumane, illegal, or otherwise unacceptable conditions. It is a multi-billion dollar criminal industry that denies freedom to 24.9 million people around the world. Yes, just not in the U.S., but around the world. Human trafficking can happen to anyone, but some people are more vulnerable than others. Perpetrators of human trafficking span all racial, ethnic, and gender demographics and are as diverse as survivors. Traffickers employ a variety of control tactics The most common include physical and emotional abuse and threats, isolation from friends and family, and economic abuse. Victims and survivors of human trafficking represent every race and ethnicity, but some forms of trafficking are more likely to affect specific ethnic groups. Our speaker is on our line this evening. That may be him. He has to work, so you know how that goes. You got to make it do what it do, but I am appreciative that he is joining us today. We have 36-year-old Devin Tucker, and who was fortunate to who survived human trafficking. And I want to welcome in Devin. Go ahead and tell us your story after we hear this applause. Okay, we welcome him. Welcome him. Welcome him. Devin. Good. We are good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Yeah.
Good, good. So your story, I had looked through and, you know, give the information you had given me, and first you got held up at gunpoint. Okay, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You want to go ahead and tell us your story. Go ahead and just tell us. We got a lot of listeners out there who have been invited to hear your story and have stories of their own. So go ahead, Devin.
So my routine track, was trapped across 31 states. I was kidnapped at 14. I did not
okay. Devin, hold on a second. It's really hard. Hold on a second. It's really hard to hear you, so you may want to just be on your phone because it's very, very hard to hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
That's a little bit better. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, I didn't get free.
There we go.
Oh, and, you know, I was held at gunpoint during that time.
So hard to hear.
Yeah, it's very really hard to hear you. So you may, are you just on your phone or
she's saying the same thing. It's hard. It's about sex trafficking and how this guy got out of it. But she's saying it's hard to hear too.
Okay, hold on a little bit.
Okay.
I may have to call back.
Huh?
I may have to call back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so tonight's episode is about human trafficking, and he is a survivor of human trafficking. Yes,
he's a survivor.
He is. And who do we have?
He's a man.
And who do we have on the line that's listening, that's speaking? The young lady who was just speaking, who was that, please?
Oh, I'm sorry, Inez. This is Terry.
Oh, hi, Terry. How are you?
Hi. I didn't know I wasn't on mute. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. He'll be calling back in. It's just really hard to hear him and understand him. So, we've had callers from all over, so he'll be calling us back. And
good.
Let me see.
I'll mute you here. This is Terry Rad, so I will mute you.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. So we have Sergeant Parks on the line so far. We have Laquita Parks. We have, who else do we have on the line?
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
So I wanted to say while we're waiting for Devin to come back, I admire people who are able and who are brave enough to tell their story. Because oftentimes we experience things that somebody else has already experienced, and we don't know how to go through it because we feel like we're in it by ourselves. So for this young man to come on and and to be able to tell his story. I'm Laquita Parks, and I'm the CEO and founder of Pay-Per-View Publishing. And I believe that somebody's always waiting on the other end of our stories so that they can get healing from their story, because they don't know. And so when people hear his story, there are going to be people who are in the situation or who have been in the situation, and they have an inward fight. They're fighting inwardly because it's a shame. They don't want to tell. They don't want to share because they're ashamed of what happened to them. So I appreciate him being brave enough to share, because a lot of times we're not brave enough to share and the cycle continues. So I just wanted to say that.
Yes. Yes, it does. It certainly does. And he was one of the fortunate few who got out and is able to tell his story, which is another brave thing, because, you know, he could have stayed to himself and just kept the story to himself and not even come forth. So we are glad that he is one of those people who was able to tell his story. He has books out. He's got a movie coming out as well. He just got a whole bunch of things in his back pocket that he's doing. So I just appreciate him joining us. Well, when he can. They're forcing him to work, so he's probably trying to find a place to be able to tell his story, because he said, because yesterday when I spoke to him, he said, I got off and I'm able to be here. And so now they're forcing him to work. So I want to find out who we have on the line and where you're calling from. We have 1168. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from, please.
Yeah, that would be Sergeant Parks, caller from Yakima, Washington.
Okay, Sergeant Parks, welcome, welcome, welcome. He is one of the people who has a segment on Let's Do It Radio. He has Keeping It Real with Sergeant Parks, and he'll be coming back to us hopefully soon, so hopefully real, real soon. And we have 9948. I believe that's Laquita.
Yeah, I think that's me.
That's Laquita. Go ahead and tell us who you are again.
So my name is Laquita Parks. If the last name sounds similar to Sergeant Parks, that's my dad. And I am the CEO and founder of Pay-Per-View Publishing. And Pay-Per-View means Pain, Progress, Victory, because I believe without pain there is no progress, and without progress there can be no victory. So I help people take their stories from a thought to a realization. And I'm excited to be here. And I don't know if Devin remembers me, but he and I talked a long time ago about his story, and I was blown away then. And I'm just so excited to see all of the good things that he's doing and getting his story out so that it can help a multitude. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And some of you may have heard or know that she and I are co-authors of a book, She Said Yes to Herself Unapologetically, which is out and available, and many people have purchased the book. My friend Terry, who's on the line, and she'll introduce herself in a few, purchased the book, and it's on its way to her. So I'm excited. So we do have a creative juices for anybody who has a story, because everybody has a story and everybody has a story. So we just want you to write that story. So, and I'm sticking to that. So,
yes, love it, love it, love it.
So we have 2359. You want to tell us who you are and where you're calling from, please?
It's Rev Ali out of Los Angeles and San Diego, California.
Hello, greetings, and welcome to you, fine sir. Thank you for joining us this evening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you say Rev Ali?
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we have the last 47808. I believe that is Terry. And tell us where you're calling from, Terry. And who
hey, Inez. Hi, I'm calling from Ruskin, Florida. Went to high school with Inez, known her since eighth grade. knew her when she was pimply, and now she's just soaring, so I'm excited to be on here.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for joining us this evening. The funny thing
it's a
is,
privilege.
We haven't seen each other in forever, and she lives not too far from me, and we still haven't got together, but we do have a lunch date, so we will be meeting
yeah.
Soon so I can give her her book and sign her book and give her her copy. So we're looking
we
forward
will.
To that lunch date.
And neither
yes,
one of us
yes.
has changed a bit, so it's going to be all
not
good.
At all. Not at all. I am looking forward to that date. I am so looking forward to that date.
Me too, girl. Me too.
And then we have 0380. Can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from? You want to unmute yourself? I know who it is. It's Reverend Ron. He probably doesn't know that he's muted or has himself muted.
Excuse me. I'm here. Hello?
Okay.
Hello. Excuse me. I'm here. How y'all doing?
We're good. We are good. We are so good. So that's Reverend Ron, and he's from Little Rock, Arkansas, and he is also in the running for an Oscar for the short documentary of The Barber of Little Rock. And so that is coming out, I think, March 10th or something like that. So keep him up in prayer for that they win that nomination for the Oscar. So we've got some really astute people on the line. So I'm just all excited about everybody being on the line and joining us today. And we're still just waiting for hopefully Devin will be coming on. If not, we can have a show. I'm not even worried about that. So if he doesn't come on, which I hope he does, try to find the area that he can speak to us because he did have to go to work. So thank you. And we did have another person on the line that they probably thought I was going to ask them who they were, but that's okay. But anyway, so Mr. Ali, is that a person of yours, Laquita?
Who?
Reverend Ali?
No, I don't know. Don't know. Not familiar
okay.
with him.
Okay. Well, it's good to have new people on the line. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us. And until Devin gets on the line, I'm going to, you know, kind of read his story so that at least we can be familiar with what he's going to be telling us, and he can at least go into detail. But he says in the interview that he had, I got held at gunpoint, and they told me there is no escaping, there is no leaving, there is no helling. Devin Tucker spent most of his life trapped in circumstances beyond his control. It started with childhood neglect by his parents that shaped his view of himself and the world. He said, I felt empty, like just like nobody cared, and eventually I got to the point where I thought, well, maybe this is the norm. Just for my life, maybe this is how it's supposed to be. The only time he felt love was when he was with his grandmother, who brought him to church and taught him to pray. When nobody else was around, he could rely on his grandma and was expecting her to be there forever. And things got dark. Things got, well, they just went south, and she passed away. So you know what happened. By the time he was in middle school, he'd run away from home and traded arguments with his mom for chaos on the streets of Detroit. In the years that followed, Devin made thousands of dollars selling drugs. Still, he remained trapped in fear. He said, I felt like there was no security. I was always worrying, always stressed out about who's after me. Even my best friends, are they after me? It's not just the police. It's the ones who are close to you. You know how that goes. Those who are closest to you, they're always in your back pocket, always after you. So his fears became reality when the police raided his house. They seized drugs and $200,000 in cash. Devin was facing 15 to 25 years in prison. He sat in jail waiting for trial. He remembered what his grandmother taught him about prayer. So I prayed in jail, and I said, God, I don't know if you're real or not, but if you are, if you let me go, I'll stop selling drugs. I'll quit. Went to court, had his hearing, and he was free. Devin was released on a technicality and never sold drugs again. Needing income, he joined a company that takes young people state to state selling magazines. He found out it was a front for a sex trafficking ring. He said he was stuck. There's no getting out. I was held at gunpoint, and I've watched people get beaten, left almost for dead. And he was like, where am I going to go if I'm followed in every room? Where am I going to go if there's a van following me in every neighborhood? Who am I going to call? I don't even have a cell phone. For the next year and a half, Devin was forced to have sex with strangers. Trafficked through 11 states and desperate for freedom, he spent 3 days praying for rescue. Then the next day, while selling magazines, he knocked at the door of a family involved in Florida Abolitionists, a group dedicated to freeing people from sex slavery. Thank you, Jesus. They sensed he was in danger and offered him help. He says, do you want out, David? Do you want out, says Devin. The way he looked at me, the way he said it, I had an understanding. You want to help me leave my situation. So the family was able to rescue Devin from his captors and gave him new hope. He said something that triggered. He said, for God so loved the world, which is John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, Devin said. And then he quoted it different. He said, for God so loved Devin that he gave his only begotten son. And it hit me personally in a way that I thought about the times I had been shot, stabbed, locked up, the times that I went through, like throughout just my whole life from elementary all the way up until, you know, now. Like, you did this because you love me. This was just not saving me from hell. You love me. And that reality is what, yes, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for what you did for me, Devin said. That day, Devin was rescued physically and spiritually. When he surrendered his life to Christ, he was finally set free. Everything that I never had, he completely did the opposite and turned it around and gave it to me. God just gave it to him. Complete restoration. It had to start off with God's grace, and that's what I'm thankful for and the blessings that come with it. And I mean blessings in the sense that just being able to wake up and feel the freedom. God has given me a family. God has given me 3 beautiful kids, a beautiful wife, and I just thank God for every ounce of it. Every drop, Devin says. Let me see if he's back with us. Not yet. He shares his story, hoping others who are being trafficked will find help as they cry out to God for freedom. God hears you, every prayer, every thought, and there is hope. If he can set me free, he can help you get free, Devin says. So that's his story, and he's, you know, he has written books, and hopefully he'll be able to join us. Let me see if he's out there. Nope, he hasn't come back yet. But, and I see 5595 has just joined us. Can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
It's Ben. I'm calling from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Hello. How you doing, Apostle Chris? How you doing?
Fine. It's me. It's
good.
Me,
good,
Betty.
Good, good.
Betty.
Hey. Hi, Pastor Betty. How are you doing?
Greetings, greetings, greetings. Hello tonight. How are you?
Good, good,
how
good,
are
good,
all
good.
The other
our,
listeners on the line
good
today?
Good
amen.
Good evening. Good evening.
Everybody
good evening.
Good out there. Let me see. Okay, unmute Pastor Don. Okay, you're unmuted, Pastor Don. How you doing? Now he's got to unmute. I'm going to put him back on mute because a lot of times he's got the kids with him. So starting with Sergeant Parks, hearing the story, if you were ever in this situation, what would you do? Would you fight? Would you give up? What would you do? Sergeant Parks? You got to unmute yourself.
Okay, can you hear
okay,
me now?
Okay, we can hear you now. Mm-hmm. Yes, we can.
Yeah, that's really a tough question on that topic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it is it's a worldwide situation. It's called supply and demand. You know, that form of trafficking is, I don't know how we can get rid of it. You know, it's so lucrative, billions of dollars a year. But I honestly don't know how I would react, you know, and I think that he did remarkably well to come out of it alive. You know, so my hat's off to him. My hat's off to anybody that suffers a challenge like that and is able to come out of it. A lot of times people are so traumatized and stuff that you can't get them to come to this space right here that we're in to talk about it. You know, I see a lot of sisters and brothers out on the streets and stuff, you know, young people. Don't have the courage to come out and talk about it. Don't have the courage to do what it takes, you know. So my hat's off to Devin. Anybody in that situation that can come to the other side, he must be treated. That's trauma, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
That is trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And I have been speaking with him throughout the week before this evening, and hopefully he'll come back on, but you know he has to be treated for PTSD because of the trauma, because of things that go off and triggers and what have you. So I mean it's not easy, you know, being forced into sex and having sex and with different people, you know, sometimes that says 10, 11, 12 people a day. You know, as a child. So, I don't know what I would do. I mean, a lot of people probably in this situation would probably try to commit suicide because they can't handle it. They can't handle what's going on in their life and in their world. So we're just thankful that he made it out as a survivor, because I still have to find out how many people survive. But it's hard to survive. It's really hard to survive, and because they just want you and they want money. So they don't care about the person. They just want the outcome. They just want the supply of the demand. So, Laquita, how about you? Go ahead, Sergeant Park.
It probably wouldn't be mind-boggling to just figure out how many people, you know, that's in that same situation. it has to be real mind-boggling. And then I would just like to know, how did they get there, you know? And it's real powerful that this young man will come on, okay, and face people that he don't even know to say that. But that is so much courage. That's courage and that's strength. Because somebody's listening out there, somebody's listening, trying to figure out how in the heck can they get out of that. Somebody is listening to this. So, you know, if it's just one person or if it's 1,000 people, man, you know, that's speaking all the peace in the world.
So true. So true. And, you know, and there are a lot of people out there. How many did I say? Millions? What did I say?
Yep.
I said 24.9 million people around the world. So you know how many children, people's children that is? You know, little Susie, have you seen Susie? Well, she got picked up. You know, she's being trafficked now. She's being sex trafficking. So 24.9 million people on a multi-billion dollar criminal industry. You know, it's sad. It is so sad, but that's what happens. That is what happens to people, and because they get picked up, they could be walking down the street. Child could be walking down the street home from school. They get picked up. You know, they get picked up in the store. Go ahead.
I want to know how a former president, how can a former president even get with his righteous name caught up in anything so similar? How can that happen? You know, the most powerful man, the most powerful man in the face of any universe can get hooked up in something like that. And nobody seems to just even care. You know, even just think, if I was even implicated in something like that, I'd probably be dead somewhat. You know? But the most powerful man on the face of this earth ever, 10 times over, is going to get caught up in something like that, and nothing happened. Where I'm from, if it walks like a duck, If it walks like a duck, it has to be a duck.
Can't be nothing else but a duck.
I'm sorry, everybody, but I never know when she brought me on this show that was going to happen. I apologize.
You don't have to apologize. You do not have to apologize, Sergeant Price, at all. Not at all. Not in the least bit. Laquita, you have anything you want to bring to the table? Because I know you always got something to bring to the table.
You know what? First of all, there is no way for me to even begin to imagine what I would do were I in that situation. Because I can go over a million different things that I might do, but you never know what you would do until you're actually in that situation. I had the honor a few years ago of doing one of my mentoring programs at a group home. It was a group home, but it wasn't. But it was a facility where they housed women who were being rescued from trafficking. And those women, and I could not ask them their stories, but they ranged in age. The youngest one was 18. The oldest was 62. Some of them were there because they were court mandated to be there. And they were the victims, and some of them were the recruiters. And I found myself saying, what in the world? And then I did an activity where I asked them, if you had to write a story about your life, if you had to name your life, write a chapter, if you had to write your book, what would your story be called? And then I had them to write the first chapter. And when they started sharing, I remember one young lady shared about milk. And milk was, she attributed milk to a time when things were good. When she was a little girl, she remembered the milk and having to drink the milk real fast because if she didn't drink it fast, it would soggy up the cereal. And she talked about how she was groomed for the life. Another young lady talked about being given to somebody when she was 5 years old. And being groomed and being, that's the life that they knew. That's all they knew. And then being groomed, you were the victim, and then you became the recruiter. And it wasn't necessarily because it's what you wanted to do, but kind of like what Devin said, there was fear, so it was what you had to do. Your life was on the line. So the how do you stop it? It's a money making industry. How do you stop money making things? How do you stop things that's making the people who are holding the strings, the people who are pulling the strings, how do you stop something when those people who are holding the strings are the ones that are behind it? They may not have created it, but they keep pushing money into it, so it grows and grows and grows. Anything that isn't that's not making money, it fizzles and dies. We all know that. If it don't make money, keep it moving. Keep it moving. It, you know, alcohol became, they legalized alcohol because of what? Pretty soon, marijuana will be legalized throughout the whole country. Why? Because it's making money. And it's the bottom line, it's money. So the people who are in power, if they turn a blind eye or they participate, they're still guilty. And when we go through things, and I know somebody's going through things, that see something, say something. So we live in a culture where we're afraid to say anything because we don't want to get involved, and, you know, people are crazy. We don't want to get hurt, so we don't say anything. We see some things with children that's inappropriate, so it's not our business, so we don't say anything. And then but we talk about it to each other. So I can have a conversation with you all day long, Inez, but if we're not doing anything, if we're not taking the conversation outside of just you and I, nothing is going to be done. If we're not ringing the bells and sounding the alarms, nothing is going to be done. If I'm not telling you, you know what, you can trust me. I went through this. This is how I did, and we're in this together. If we're not doing this, then nothing's going to be done. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And somebody said, well, you know, it always get worse before it get better. Well, I'm going to tell you, it always get worse before it get worse.
Worse or worse.
So as we go through, if I had to even try to give some semblance of a solution, it would be see something, say something in your own story. Don't be a hoarder of your own story, because somebody saved Devin. Devin has a responsibility to save somebody else. Somebody saves me, I have a responsibility to save somebody else. And I can't do that. You know how we get a little bit of money in our pocket, and then we separate ourselves from people because, oh, you know, I don't want them people coming over here asking me for nothing. But you were just on the other end of that string asking somebody for something. So
see something, say something.
Tell your story. Share your story. So when we, I do believe when we start bringing enough awareness, we start sounding some alarms, then people will start saying, okay, you know what, I ain't going to be able to go do my dirt over there because they talking. So we have to continue to have these conversations. I love your platform because, you know, sometimes we think, it's the huge platform that's hitting, you know, a gazillion people. Well, no, because a gazillion people might not even be listening to those platforms, but because you can't have a conversation like this. You know, sometimes we get lost in the flow of things, you know, and I know you have a million listeners, and everybody on this broadcast has a responsibility, because the fact that we're all here means that somebody at some point in our lives, no matter where we are, saved us. And when you're talking about human trafficking and sex trafficking and trafficking children, you know, watch your babies, hold them close. My children are adults, and I still want to know where you going, you know, who you with, call me when you get home. We do that. We're holding each other accountable, because it doesn't matter. It used to be a little age, it's the little kids. Now, no, it's not. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So I know I had a lot of 2 cents to share, but that's my story.
You made a whole dollar.
That's right.
Thank you, Laquita. Okay. Then we have Reverend Ali. You want to comment or say anything, sir? Because we forget that. Okay. We will come back to him. Ms. Terry, do you have anything you'd like to say on the topic?
Oh, boy. First of all, is it Laquita?
Laquita.
Laquita, I'm sorry.
Laquita.
Laquita, girl, you nailed it. You nailed so much of what was going on in my head. The question that was asked, what would you do? Would you do something different? And you said exactly what my brain was thinking. You don't know until you're in that position. You
Correct.
Don't know. Now, I could say right now, well, I would do this, and I'd fight tooth and nail, and I'd fight to the death. But unless I'm in that position, I have no idea what I would do. And there are so many children, from the youngest to the eldest, like you said, that are in this position, and many, especially the younger, feel helpless. And because of the trauma that some of the middle people to the older people have gone through, they have no idea what to do, because you have to – my question has always been, what brought them to this place? What, like, what trauma happened in their life that possibly led them to this? It could be none. It could be none. It just could be an event. But most of all, you know that there's been some kind of trauma, and that's always been my heart. What has been their trauma? I personally have undergone a ton of trauma. I know that I could have been in a very different place, but thank God Almighty, He saved me and He rescued me from that. But there are many, many that have undergone trauma that they feel like this is the only place they can go. And I think as a people, we've turned a blind eye to really what really is going on here. You know, what there is so much that we don't know. There are so many that have gone silent, and we have no idea where they're at. And the more and more that time goes by, you realize these people, not only children, especially children, which breaks me, but even adults, we have no idea what's going on. And like she said, it's a money operation. Did you know, and I read this probably 2 months ago, the United States is the number one trafficking country in the world. We're number one. And
That's
what
bad.
The heck? What is going on here? You know, we need to get a grip as a country and say enough already. And for this young man, and I'm sorry that he's not here because I was really looking forward to hearing him, but I love the discussion that's happening. But that you know, there is so many stories out there that we don't know about, and we need to open our eyes and ears and see what's really going on. There is a depth of evil. There's a depth of depravity that we haven't even begun to unveil what's going on.
You haven't scraped anything.
It's heartbreaking.
And a lot of parents will give their children to sex trafficking, to human trafficking.
Oh, my Lord.
For the money. For
the money.
The
it's
money.
All about the money. It's about the money.
Follow the money.
It's about the money. And how sad is that, that parents have to come to that end, that is more important than the lives of their children. And you don't know the you don't know the situation, obviously, you know, we don't want to judge, whatever, but still it's the life of your child, and what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you holding? I guess what I'm trying to get through is that what is your priority? What is most important to you, the money or your child? And that is where our morality, I guess, comes into place. Where is our morality as a people and as a country? You know, where is that leading us? There's so many avenues you can take that why people get into this, and why they are trapped, and why they get sucked into it. And I'm so grateful for people that are trying to rescue these people and trying to do whatever they can do to get these children, young men, young women, and kids out of this. It's unbelievably evil.
Out of the traffic zone. Devin will join us in about 15 minutes. Oh, you're fine. Devin will join us in about 15 minutes. Thank you, Terry. Thank you for responding to Laquita and for elaborating as well. Thank you. Reverend Ali, you out there?
Yeah, I'm out here. I'm just doing multitasking, but I'm listening to y'all calling and support, you know, sex trafficking has been going on for before we've been here. You know, I'm 53, so you know, it's been going on for a long time. It's the same as homelessness, because homelessness and actual sexual trafficking actually kind of go together, because a lot of people end up homeless, nowhere to go, and they'll do certain things just to get a plate of food or a place to lay their head, you know. And so it all came from where I come from, you know, not saying that it's not no different from where everybody else come from. But in Los Angeles and San Diego, when I grew up back in the days, it was real rough. It was just almost a shame, you know. And this is back in the 70s. And now it's 2024, and it's still a shame. And people get mad at me when I say, man, ain't nothing changed with these politicians and anybody that had a way to make something happen. Well, there has been things that have changed in certain individuals, but it's a low percentage, you know. And like one of the brothers was saying, you know, we need people that's been through it to come talk about it, because a lot of people that be talking about it on these panels ain't never been through it, you know, and they just be chopped up, running their mouth, don't know nothing about it. Just like me, I never went through it, but I've seen people that went through it. My sister went through it, you know what I mean? So and so when you watch these things and you see how it happens, it's still not the same of somebody actually going through it, you know. So for a change and a solution, I'm going to be real quiet, but for a change and a solution, I always say listen to the people who's going through it and get the solutions from them.
You don't have to be quiet. You're fine. How is she doing since she survived it? How is she doing, your sister?
My sister is 50. She's 59. She'll be 60. But what I'm saying is this happened to her in the 70s. So this messed up her whole life. She's been mentally disturbed. She's been on medication. She's been in and out of prison. She got five kids that don't really know her. You know what I mean? So this is the aftermath of what happened with sexual trafficking. And it wasn't her fault. You know, she was just rebellious at a young age. And, you know, my mom used to kick her out the house. You know, getting kicked out the house in the 70s and getting your butt whipped by your parents in the 70s, police didn't do nothing.
It was just
you out there, period. And hopefully somebody's family member or somebody would take you in. So, you know, it's been going on for her for a long time. She's almost, like I said, almost 60, and she's still here, but she's still going through it. She just got out of prison from doing like a 12-year term, maybe about a year ago.
Wow, okay. Okay, thank you. I wish you would have been able to join, but I understand. I totally understand.
Yeah. I'm listening, though. I'm right here with you. Put my spirit towards some good spirit. Even though we're talking about something that's a low spirit, we can bring good energy to lift the low energy.
That's right. Thank you, thank you, thank you, fine sir. Okay, let's see. Reverend Ron, what do you got to say?
Well, something that Devin said, he said he reached out to God because his grandma had taught him how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm speaking for those that are in the situation now, tonight, now and time. Pray, and the spirit that comes over you for you to reach out to God, reach out to God where you are, you know, wherever they are, those that are being trafficked and so on and such. But I'd like to say that in America, I heard somebody talking about we got a broke-down system here. Well, the gentleman that's running for president, I heard somebody mention the former president, this guy is guilty of sex, having relations with girls that are being held by Epstein over on the island. But he's running for president, and he's the guy that says that he could walk up to a woman and grab her and all this kind of thing. Now, if we really want to change the situation, for the Bible say if the head is corrupt, then the whole body.
Take it down.
Cut it off.
That's right.
Cut it off.
It's corrupt. Now, wait a minute. If all the mothers and fathers who have children, whether they were in rebellions or whether they just ran away from home or whether they just wanted to catch a ride to see the bright lights in the big city and got caught up in sex. Now, if all the mothers around the world, if they gathered up and came to a meeting where they could cry and talk about the issue, how important, what happened, and this, that, and the other, still, if you got a man in front of America saying it's all right for this type of thing to go on and participate with it, and under rape charges and being paying women that he's raped and all this kind of thing. If he's the leader, then he gives fuel to all of these people that are out there doing this type of thing. And I'm not being critical, but not only him, but all of those that are with him that participate in these kind of acts. Now,
let's have some church up in here, preacher. I didn't think nobody saw it but me. I thought I'm the only one sitting around here going to see that, you know. It just don't make sense.
Let me I'm gonna finish here in a minute, sorry. Just give me a few minutes.
Go ahead, please. I'm sorry. I'm going to the Bible up in here now.
Notice, a lot of the ills of our society is coming right out of the legislators, out of the House of Representatives. They pull it on acts where they're having sex in the courthouse, at the White House, in the over rooms and so forth. Not only that, they are giving fuel to the fire of sin and unrighteousness and bad things. You see, in sin, It ain't just because you out of the church and you don't know God, but sin is a nature that a lot of people are involved in, and in that nature it have different attributes. Smuggling is one. That's sin.
Mm-hmm.
Molestation and rape and stealing folk. The Bible talked about men stealers. The Bible said that there would be stealing folks, you know, running off with them and holding them against their will. This is going on. Now, what's the solution that Devin knew that was so profound? He said, I pray.
Prayer.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you come through situations like that and God delivered you out of that, then it's time for you to unify with the true worshipers. And y'all can make a difference with your voices being heard, speaking out to the powers that be. We want to change on this situation and pray until the change comes. Some people say, well, it may take a lifetime. No, God don't wait a lifetime to take a business. I'm a living witness. And then stop telling people, please stop telling people, if they are not endowed or endowed with this erroneous way of education, stop telling people
mm-hmm.
that they are left for nothing. Take away separatism. Move out of the discrimination, because all that have a part in trafficking, and all that, when they're in trafficking, they've been discriminated against, they've been, all of that is a part of that wrongdoing. So until, you can't look for a society to make the change. Society did not make the change for Devin. God made the change for Devin, because that's who Devin called upon. Get me out of this situation. And God told him, okay, get you out of this situation. But you got to do what you told me while you was in this situation. If you make a vow and say, God, if you bring me out of this, I'm going to do this for you, you got to keep that vow.
Right. And that's what he did.
Change came. We're talking about it tonight. So all of those people that's in Devin's situation tonight, wherever you are, whether you're here, Tokyo or Rome, stop and call on God and tell him you need out. But when you make that vow to God, then when you get out, when God free you, then live the vow so that you can help get somebody else out of it by your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
I yield.
Mm, okay. And to the Bennetts?
This is Betty. I'm sorry. I'm on mute. Am I off now?
No, you're good. Uh-huh.
Okay. Because, you know, I have a built-in speaker anyway. Big mouth. I am really just being amazed by the whole conversation that is going on. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm totally dumb or naive to what this subject matter is. I guess I just wasn't aware that it was as dominant as it is, nor was I aware that it was such a billion-dollar industry, a billion-dollar
mm-hmm.
industry that was going on right here in the U.S. under our nose. So, you know, bringing awareness to that is more than likely the only opportunity that's going to bring forth any change. The numbers that I heard tonight were staggering. If those numbers get out there with you know, that type of volume, it has to produce a change.
Mm-hmm.
I just never knew the numbers were so big, and I didn't know United States was number one in that, leading that type of you know, activity. Someone in the legislature should be heading up something in you know, down the corridors of the White House, saying, you know what, we need to eliminate this while we're working on the border. We need to eliminate kidnapping and children being traded for drugs or sold for money or whatever, what have you, for sex trafficking, whatever the situation is. We need to find a way to eliminate not reduce, but mm-hmm. eliminate this type of activity in the United States, period. Period. This can't be, no one in their right frame of mind could ever conceive that this must be a wise decision, that this is something that mankind should do or would want to do.
Uh-huh.
They've got to be sick in their head to think of something in that way. Having children themselves, having relatives, nieces, nephews, uncles, having family themselves.
Anybody.
How could you, uh-huh. else could you bend a stoop to such low, the lowest of lows, with
uh-huh.
other people, other humans. And so this has been, I've been listening in, and I've just been intrigued by all of the comments I've been hearing, all of the information I've heard, and it's just an awakening. You know, one thing I knew coming into 2024 is that it was going to be a year mm-hmm. of the awakening. A lot of us were going to be awakened to a lot of things that have been going on. Well, guess what? The government is too, you know. Someone
uh-huh.
spoke earlier,
uh-huh.
and I think it was Laquita that spoke about, people that, how many listeners you have, and, you know, whether it's a mega, they're listening to mega shows, or whether they're listening to this one. Well, I would submit
uh-huh.
that, you know, mega shows have so many listeners. They have no reason to listen behind the scenes for them. But smaller shows like this, small sales, small this, oh, yeah, they're tapping in and want to hear what's the comments that's going on about these particular items. Small sales
uh-huh.
lead to big results. Small
correct
shows lead to great results. And I just think that by us having this tonight and talking about it and putting it out there in the opening, and the gentleman, Devin, by him coming forward,
uh-huh.
he is really, really, really just pulling back the curtain and saying, look, this is what's going on. It took God to get me through this. I asked him. He helped me. And if God helped me, he didn't just see me. I asked him for help. He helped me. But he see all those others
uh-huh.
that are there. So he's got to see
uh-huh.
a whole lot of wrongdoing going on. And, you know, and unless, you know, we want to be whipped by God, we'll want to turn this situation around. So I'm sorry, I always have to interject that religious part because God is a loving God, but don't mistake him. Don't mistake him because he is a terrible God when he becomes angry at what's being done. So it's something we should not play with, and that's his creation. And so I'm just going to leave that laying right there that they really are. They're traveling in dangerous territory.
Amen.
They're in dangerous territory.
Pastor Don,
because he said,
uh-huh.
yeah, he said this, whatever they do to the least of these, my little ones,
they
did also.
Uh-huh.
They've done it to me.
Yeah,
they better be.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Don, you out there? You want to say anything?
Hello?
Pastor Don? Oh, okay. Devin has returned, so thank you, Devin, for coming back. You have a lot of people who want to hear your story. They're appreciative of you coming forth and telling your story. I read your story, but it's nothing like coming from, as they say, the horse's mouth as far as what has happened to you, how you made it through, how you survived, and what you're going through now. You know, so go ahead and tell it from your side, please.
I know I had started with, you know, just being held at gunpoint. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was one of the biggest things for me, you know, being kidnapped, held at gunpoint, and then sex trafficked across 31 states and not getting my freedom until I was 23. Before that,
okay.
I was living in an abandoned building.
Hold on. When were you held at gunpoint? At what age?
I was 14. Yeah. And then you know, and then being sex trafficked, you know, before all of that, though, before being sex trafficked, I was living in abandoned buildings at 14. And before that, I was always in the house, you know, by myself. You know, my parents weren't around like that. My mom was a stripper. You know, she worked all night, so I never got a chance to see her. My dad just wasn't around. He was always ripping and running in Southwest Detroit. You know, and I just was always at the house by myself. You know, at one point, I got heart palpitations because of lack of potassium. You know, just always eating toast every day. I would have to, you know, hop inside. You know, I used to have to break into my own house because I was too young to have a key. You know, and this was during my elementary years of school. You know, and it just, I just was always alone. Middle school, I had gotten trouble the last year of my elementary school because just, you know, ripping and running the streets, and I actually had brought a gun to school, and so I wound up getting kicked out of all public schools, basically. And they wouldn't even let me go to a charter school. And so I wound up having to be homeschooled. And because nobody was at home, that forced me to be on the streets even more. So in my middle school years, I wound up just ripping and running, you know, the streets heavy because just wasn't nobody, you know, around. And so, you know, by the time I was like, you know, 14, 15, shoot, I was so heavy in the dope game. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't expecting to be held at gunpoint. You know what I'm saying? You think you're the toughest cat at that age. Can't nobody tell you nothing. You got money coming in. You know, you're doing your thing. You know, but the whole thing was, like, still I was living in abandoned buildings, and everybody I thought was my friend wasn't my friend. You know, between getting locked up, shot, stabbed, you know, and all of that. You know, it was just one of those different type of realities.
Hey, Devin, question.
Yeah.
What did you do with the dope money?
So I stashed it, but police confiscated it when my house got raided.
So you spent none of that money?
No, I was just saving up. So my friend Mitch, you know, he was living with me in the abandoned buildings. He was teaching me the dope game during the time. And he was just telling me, like, you know, while you're in school, don't spend nothing. Just stack up and save. He was like, I don't care if you're wearing the same thing every day. Like, just don't show, you know, your left hand what your right hand is doing. You know, you don't want everybody in your business. And so I was just putting. Huh?
What made you stay in the abandoned building with the money that you was making?
I was stupid. Like, just being real. Like, now, I did buy a car. You know, my first car was a white Cadillac DeVille. You know, I bought it from a dude named David. You know, it was a 98 white Cadillac DeVille. Interior was burgundy leather. You know, and, you know, I didn't buy that, though, until, like, my last year of school. And that's because I got tired of everybody talking about me, and I kind of, like, wanted to flex a little bit. So I bought a white Cadillac, and then I bought some white Tims, some Prada jeans, a Prada shirt, Prada glass. Everything was just all white, you know, and a ton of jewelry. And, you know, I came to school a little bit different on my last year. But my first 3 years of high school, like, it's just like, you know, I just took – everybody talking about me. I was used to it anyway, just because of the life I live. You know, my parents not being around and me always kind of having to fend for myself. But something happened in my last year of high school where it was like, damn. Like, it just got real for me. You know, I was like, I got to do something different. Me living in abandoned buildings, I wasn't really focused on my living condition. It was more so like, this is where I make my money. And I didn't care. And for me, it was like, if I could prove to my parents that, you know, that I'm making money, then maybe I could grab their attention. But when I found out that didn't grab their attention, I wound up being fueled by anger because I figure if my mom's a stripper, the issue is always money. My dad is out there working or whatever, doing whatever. He always crying about money. So, like, maybe if I just get some money, they'll pay attention to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I be so independent, like, they'll look at me, like, they'll notice me. And that it do it.
Yes.
Huh?
Did you ever express the way you felt? Now, I'm saying this, I'm speaking to you,
no,
David, but
because my mom wouldn't talk to me. No,
yeah.
So my mom didn't even tell me that she loved me. My dad, I had to call my dad one day when I was, like, real, real hungry. We didn't have no food in the house for, like, a week. And I was just surviving off of the lunches that the school would provide. And so one day I called my dad. He came all the way from Southwest Detroit to yell at my mom. And I was little. You know, I came down the stairs and I could hear on the side of the door because I got the door closed. And he asked her, he said, how come you don't tell your son that you love him? And she yelled back at him like, I can't. I ran back upstairs. I tucked myself in a corner. I didn't even go into bed. I literally tucked myself in a corner, and I started to hate myself. I started to hate my mom and just, like, everybody around me because it was just like I go to school and I see people hug their mom, hold them, kiss them or whatever, and it's just like my own blood, like somebody that actually supposed to love me, like, don't. Like, she don't talk to me. She don't take me to the movies. We don't go this, that, and the third. You never home. I'm always by myself. And then to hear that you can't say that you love me, I couldn't. That's when I actually started to have a hatred towards my mom. Like, I would cuss. Like, I was too afraid to tell it to her face, but I would cuss behind her back, like, up under my little breath or whatever. But, you know, I started to really not care. I still had hope during that time, but that's when I started to, like, really not care. It was just like, damn, like, but the people on the street who I'm familiar with, like, they all, you know, we all got something in common, you know, and it's just like, that's what I wind up, you know, falling in love with, you know.
Oh, so you had you fell in love. Now, was that after you went to jail or before?
No, I fell in love before. Like, I fell in love with the lifestyle. Jail,
lifestyle.
I went to jail, yeah, the jail taught me, like, jail was like, that taught me F everybody. Because I didn't get commissary, nobody called, nobody checked up on me. It was a different reality for me. It was like, damn, I'm sitting here at 36th District, Wayne County, like, and I ain't, like, I'm making phone calls to everybody, and, like, ain't nobody responding. So it's just like, damn, I'm back to square one with nobody, you know, being real, saying that they love me, whatever. Like, at least I thought I had the streets, you know.
What did the street people respond to you when you was in jail?
I spoke to people.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't like that tough guy. Like, I wasn't trying to be no tough guy or nothing. Like, I was just me, you know. If I felt uncomfortable, I would not put myself in uncomfortable situations, you know. I was very observant, you know, and paying attention. You know, but I was still, like, me, you know, and I think that's what allowed me to, you know, not really get into any trouble, you know. I ain't have to, you know, want no fighting for my life or, you know, dropping the soap or none of that, like, stuff like that. I mean, that happens, but it's like you really gotta have some type of pride or be arrogant or, you know, not be on your P's and Q's to really mess that up. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a bunch of men. And men understand men. You know what I'm saying? But if you come in there trying to be macho or whatever, or you come in there trying to be quiet and not say anything to anybody, like, it's just like, they're gonna feed off that because it's still a bunch of egos. Like, it is what it is, you know, and they're gonna break you, you know. So
how long were you in jail?
I had 6 months before a hearing, and then they released me on a technicality.
Okay. And so were you still being sex trafficked during that time?
No, after is when I got sex trafficked. So I wound up going to, after jail, like, they sent me to a halfway house, and then I wound up going to a shelter called the Covenant House on Martin Luther King Boulevard. And they had a program because I got caught selling CDs and DVDs because I had told God I wouldn't sell dope again, but I wound up selling CDs and DVDs instead. And, you know, I told God, I said, I ain't going to sell dope if you let me out. If I beat my case, I'll stop selling dope. Now, I ain't know if God was real or not, and I wasn't trying to get saved. I just was like, if you're real, like, I quit selling dope. So I just stopped selling dope. But when I got to the Covenant House, I had to make some type of money for myself. So I wound up selling CDs and DVDs. And then from there, I got caught. I got busted, you know, for piracy, because that's what that is. And they gave me an option. Mm-hmm. They were like, one, you know, you can get in trouble, XYZ, go back to jail, blah, blah, or you can basically, we send you with a program called the, you know, Second Harvest Group, where they travel state to state, you know, selling books and magazines and cleaning products and all of that. Now, I didn't know, I don't even think they knew, that organization that they signed me up for was, you know, for human trafficking. But you tell somebody like me that lived in abandoned buildings that come from nothing, made a bunch of money, and then got locked up and stripped from everything, I'm completely broken. I don't know where to go, don't know what to do, don't know, like, my mind, everything has been stripped. I am at my last. So then you tell somebody that was, you know, out of Detroit, Michigan, poverty stricken, you know, I'm already broken mentally, and you tell me that I get to travel state to state, that's like telling me I get to see the world. And I get paid for it. My ego, I'm like, what? Hell yeah, it's a wrap. Sign me up. Get me up out of here. I need something different. I need to see something different. I need to explore. I need to try whatever. All I could think about was, you know, a better future. And, you know, I was tricked. You know what I'm saying? And so here I am. I'm packing my bags up, getting ready. You know, in the first state that I'm heading to is Wisconsin. You know, they fly me out to Wisconsin, and my first day, it seemed regular. You know, I'm selling books and magazines, and I got somebody shadowing me. But then it gets real, because on the second day, they like, how you going to pay for your hotel? How you going to pay for the gas for traveling back and forth? How you going to pay for the credentials that we give you to sell the books and magazines and the cleaner products? How are you going to pay for, you know, the food? And it's like, well, wait a minute. I just got here. I can't pay for it. Like, what are you talking about? I just started. I'm still being trained. And they said, nah, you got to pay for it somehow, some way. Bam, held that gun point again. Only this time, the barrel is in my mouth. And they telling me that, no, you're going to pay for it, and you're going to pay for it through sex. So I was labor trafficked during the day. I was forced to sell books and magazines during the day, and then I was sex trafficked at night. So my day went in the morning, wash up, put on a suit, go door to door, and try to sell books and magazines or whatever. Mind you, don't have no identification, none of that. Nobody else has identification on them. You know what I'm saying? No permit to solicit, none of that. There's nobody has a cell phone, so you can't reach out. You're constantly being monitored. You're under surveillance. You always being watched. Somebody got some type of armor, you know, gun on them or whatever. And then at night, you know, when you get done, you're being sex trafficked. So you wash up, put on another suit, and then you go into the room or whoever's, you know, doing the purchases or, you know, whoever's buying, paying for the sex or whatever. And so they used the business, they used the human trafficking or the magazine company as a business front to book multiple hotel rooms. So when a client comes in, they don't have to have a hotel key. They can literally just go straight to the room. And then they would send us in there, you know, one by one. You know, not us, the room that they booked for us, you know, it was five men in one room, and there was seven women in another room, you know, and we lived off of, you know, basically $5 a day is what they gave us for food. And, you know, the as far as washing up and hygiene and all of that, we only had the hotel soap and the hotel shampoo. Now, with five grown-ass men, if you're the last one to take a shower, like, what does that look like? You're going to be funky because ain't none left. It's grown-ass men. You know what I'm saying? And so it was just like, you know, like, what do I do? You know, when you constantly being watched. I didn't have that type of hope. I didn't have no, you know, like, for me, it was just like, I was just like, I was out of it. You know, I wanted help, but I didn't know how because I couldn't trust anybody, you know.
Did you ever think about running away to the police station?
Nah, I was too surrounded. I watched people get beat to death. I watched people get, like, I watched people die at Walmart, and then they take off, you know. The closest thing to escape for me was suicide. That's what I thought about. Because I'm a grown man, I'm being stripped from my identity. You're forcing me to have. I'm being raped. I'm being held against my will to be labored and sex trafficked. You're using bondage as a form of entrapment. You know, talking about I owe this and I owe that. You know, and it was just like, I was messed up.
Now, were the traffickers, were they black people or white people or Asian people?
They
or
were Haitian.
They were Haitian.
Devilish people. Go ahead.
Were you trafficking out to male or female?
Males.
Okay. That's what I thought. Men are on the down low, so it ain't even funny.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was forced to have sex with men and women, you know, and they were all, like, older white people, so. Yeah.
They had a clientele that they sent y'all to.
Huh?
I said they had a clientele they sent y'all to.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Clientele, they, it was already set. It's organized crime, so, you know.
Mm.
And then it's a $150 billion industry. So
yeah.
It's a lot more organized than people think. You know, it's, you'll barely see it in your face.
You don't get any of that money at all.
No, I mean, who gives a fuck? Like, that's how I look at it. Like, you forcing me to, like, why would I want it anyway? I'm held against my will. I can't talk to my family, can't see my family. I got no identification. I ain't got nowhere to go. I can't, you know what I'm saying? I don't know where I'm at half the time. I'm constantly being drugged. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just...
When you prayed to God, what happened?
Yeah. So this is how I got my freedom. Like, I had prayed to God again, and I was like, hey, like, I told her I'm going to commit suicide. You know, I was like, I'm a commit suicide in 3 days. Like, you don't get me out of this situation. And when within 3 days, February 6, 2011, Super Bowl Sunday, that was the day that I had got my freedom. They did a sting at the hotel in Orlando on International Boulevard behind the McDonald's. And that was the day that I got my freedom.
What happened? What happened there?
Well, I came across a family that worked with Florida abolitionists.
Mm-hmm.
And abolitionists, they work with the FBI, and that's how they do things. And they were doing their research when he did the phone call. And during that time, you know what I'm saying, like, we was just at the hotel waiting, and I wind up basically, like, leaving, saying, I'm going to go do this, that, and the third. You know, I'm going to go sell some books and magazines or whatever. And I was making a phone call, you know, putting in, saying, hey, this is what's going on. You know, they at the hotel, XYZ, come pick me up, da, da, da. And sure enough, I looked up, and boom, they raided the hotel.
Mm-hmm. God answers prayers, that's all I know.
And all of us, like, you know, we were in, you know, the black Chevy Tahoes, and they hauled us off, and, you know, if you had a connection with your parents or your people, they would send you, and if you didn't, you didn't, you know? And for me, I didn't. That's why I wound up staying in Florida. I was so paranoid and still in shock that I, for 90 days, like literally probably more than that, you know, I'm in 90-degree weather and I'm fully clothed, you know, with glasses on, sweating my butt off because PTSD, you know, I'm paranoid. You know, like severe manic, these are things that I got diagnosed with, you know, severe manic depression, adult ADHD, you know, just all these things that, you know, that come with, you know, the territory of just, you know, being a victim. But I had experienced so much trauma throughout my life, you know, because I don't watch people get shot, you know, and I didn't tell them why they got shot, you know what I'm saying? I didn't been shot, you know. Living in a abandoned building, like, just so much stuff, being stabbed, being locked up. Like, I don't think I ever in my life had a chill time until, you know, and then I wouldn't even say I was free when I got my freedom, because I was still living as a victim. It wasn't until I was free in my mind where I understood the responsibility of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I got my freedom. Like my true freedom.
Mr. Devin.
So.
Yes.
Go ahead.
How many people got their freedom the same time you did?
16.
With
me included.
Excuse me?
16 with me included.
Okay. When they, that's what I was saying, when they did the thing on the hotel room, it was 16 of you. That's
you, 14 of us.
All right, thank you.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He said thank you. So while you were in Florida in your suit with the glasses and everything, you didn't have anywhere to go, nowhere to stay?
Well, I was staying with one of the guys that helped me get my freedom, and his name is Jim Applequist.
Okay.
And, you know, he's the one that put in the call to work with the FBI and Florida abolitionists and all of that. He saw that something was wrong, you know, and I wound up, you know, staying with them, you know. But I had to it took me a long time, but I had to get all my identification again. I had to, like, literally start from scratch. And so that's one thing, like, the men don't get the type of help that they need when it comes to them getting their freedom. But women, they get shelter, they get, you know, food, they get hygiene, they get, you know, all these things. And I made it my business when I get on my feet that I was going to pay it forward for black males. And so to this day, I got an organization called the Devin Tucker Foundation, where we help people with food, jobs, clothes, hygiene, GED programs, rehab. whatever it is that they may need to get on their feet permanently. But my organization is geared towards helping, you know, men get their freedom and staying free, because what happens is when you don't provide those services for males, they're in a foreign world when they get their freedom. They don't – everything is foreign to them. They don't understand a lot of things, and people don't understand them and their language and what they've been through. So it's just like a ton of miscommunication. And the psychological battles, males will actually go back to becoming a victim because that's all they know, or they'll commit suicide because they feel like they don't fit in both worlds, like they don't know what to do, and they're just tired. And so I was like, we got to do something about this, and the men need to be represented. And then that led to me doing conferences on men's mental health. I noticed the more that I spoke up about what I went through, other men would talk about what they go through. It may not have been the same thing, but I would get phone calls like, hey, you know, I'm going to therapy now. I'm glad that you spoke up, this, that, and the third, because it's got some changes breaking off me, and I'm happy with my kids now. You know, I'm getting calls like that. And so, you know, I'm, you know, just being a voice for males, and it started off with just talking about human trafficking, but now I'm real big on men's mental health as well.
So Devin, like,
yeah,
what did your relationship go with God after you had come to the point?
That's my best friend.
I got that.
Yeah. Hold on real quick. I don't want it to get too loud. But I'm about to put on this Bluetooth. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, no, God is my best friend. I got saved the same day I got my freedom physically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the FBI agent actually led me to the Lord. And, you know, he was telling me, like, you saved now physically, but, you know, if you were to get hit by a car and die, where are you going to go? And that was something that was scary for me. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, nobody's never. Then he was like, listen, do you, like, he broke down the first. He broke down the. Hold on, real quick. Walk past this. He had broke down the. For God so loved the world. Huh?
I said, I was like, oh, you're at work, so you know, you have all the background noise.
Yeah. So he had broke down the for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But then he said it differently, and this is what captivated me. Hold on. But then he said, for God so loved Devin that he gave his only begotten son. And that's when it got real. And I realized that he didn't just save me from, you know, to go to, not to be in hell, because I didn't know anything about hell. It was more like, nah, he really loved me. That's all I could think about. Like, he loved you that much. So that moment, that meant not. Hello?
Uh-huh, we're here. It's just a lot of background noise for you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, because it's about to get loud. I got to go. I don't mean to be back and forth like that. But
before you go, okay, because you have your foundation, and you also have a book that came out, Abandoned Kingdom, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And you also have a movie coming out?
Yeah, Urbanish Digital Productions and Sony are coming together to actually do a film on my life.
And it's called Unfamiliar Territory, the Devin Tucker story?
Unfamiliar Territory, the Devin Tucker story.
Okay. And you also have a brand of clothing called Crown Control.
Yeah, Crown Control.
And where'd you get that from? Crown Control. Where'd you get that from?
It's about basically the mind, always keeping your head. That I had to deal with once I had got my freedom in my own headspace, you know, no longer living as a victim. I realized that God has called me to be a king, you know, and always to wear my crown. And sometimes we have to have control over our crown because we lose sight. A crown is filled with jewels and made of gold and all these things, but it's how a jewel is formed. It's how that the gold is formed. It's formed out of dirt. It's all the pressure and things that you have gone through is what make up, you know, your crown. And it's to be held high. And sometimes the crown can get a little heavy. We want to take it off, or it's not, we're not wearing it right, you know, and it's like crown control. Take control of your mind. Take back, you know what I'm saying? Like, have control over yourself, you know. Take control over what he's giving you. He's giving you a crown. Wear it the right way.
Filtered or otherwise, huh? But because I know you're at work and everything, and we just really appreciate you taking the time to tell us your story. Do you have any time for questions or anything, or do you have to go?
I can answer like two questions.
Okay. Anybody have any questions that they want to throw out at him right now before he goes?
Yeah, Devin, where are you now mentally?
Mentally, I'm free as a bird, baby. I love life. I appreciate my freedom to the fullest extent. Good, bad, ugly, I don't care how terrible it is. It's the simple fact that I actually have the freedom to express myself through it all, so I appreciate things a little bit different than most people. I embrace the anger. I embrace, you know, the bad or the good, you know, the fact that I get to wake up and live and feel my freedom, the fact that I actually exist. And some people are so worried about living that they actually forget that they exist. And I remember when I felt like I didn't exist. And so for me, it's just like, I'm here. I appreciate it so much, you know, and that's just, you know, where I'm at. And, you know, I have a different level of focus, you know, I'm concentrated on helping others and, you know, helping them with the food, the clothes, the hygiene, and helping them get jobs and stuff like that, and the public speaking. And, you know, I just want to continue to grow, you know, I want to continue to elevate. So that's just, you know, that's where I'm at.
Devin?
Yes.
Hi, this is Terry, and I am wondering what gave you the strength? But, you know, I know God gave you the strength, but what gave you the human strength to come out of what you were in, to get out of that and to be where you are now? What really drew you to realize that you had a better purpose?
I did not like being depressed. I didn't like being angry. I did not like knowing who I was. And I told myself, like, if I don't move forward, I will commit suicide. I will be depressed. I will be, like, I just, for some reason, it was like every step that I take moving forward, it's going to be not like I'm gaining so much progress. And then when I saw other people getting their freedom through the story that God gave me, it became bigger than me. It was like, nah, I went through this so I can actually help somebody like you. And that's when the reality hit. And it was like, yeah, just that's when it is. It just was like, I can't afford to think about me. I can't afford to be selfish. Mm. I can't afford to, because me going backwards, what is that going to do? I got to have the strength. Like, if he put me through this, apparently I'm built for it. You know, apparently I'm different,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. Like,
mm-hmm.
and then I wind up falling in love with myself for the first time and no longer living for other people. So it was like, mm-hmm. bump with everybody else, say what they got going on. Like, you know what I'm saying? I've had people tell me, oh, you deserve, you know, to be angry. You deserve. No, I don't. I don't need that. I don't deserve to be angry. I deserve to live my life how I want to live my life. Being angry ain't going to be nothing for me. I'm going to be stuck in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And be angry forever.
Well, and what strength you showed, because how many times have we seen so many people just give in and
mm-hmm.
they don't see that there's a higher purpose, and you had enough. I'm crying right now. Sorry. You saw a higher purpose. You saw your life was worth more, and you strive for that. And what a testimony of strength and faith that you are giving to so many people right now. And I'm giving you hugs, Frost, wherever you are. I just think that you have shown such strength and such courage. And I just love you to bits. And I just think that you are an incredible testimony. And I thank you for your story. And bless you, my dear. You are amazing.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I really do appreciate it.
Devin, I know you said you had room for two questions, but I just have one. I don't know if you remember me, but we spoke a couple years ago about your story with Pay-Per-View Publishing, and I'm so glad to see that you are telling your story and telling it in a mighty way. I have a question for you. How is your family? How are your children? Knowing everything that you've been through, how do you parent them?
So my family's good. I got a beautiful wife, 5 kids, you know, all together, you know, between her kids and, you know, my kids. And, you know, it's like, it's heaven, because it's like everything that I was stripped from or that I thought I couldn't get, it's just a complete 360 in my life. It's a complete turnaround. I would have never thought I'd have kids and get married and, you know, living a life where, like, some people would be like, man, you got a job, you be working, da, 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 da. But just like, hey, if you've been in my shoes, you would want a regular job and live life, and, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just, every time I get to wake up, every time I get to sleep, like, it's just, it is what it is. Like, again, like, I appreciate everything. You know, my kids are doing good in school, running around, playing, having a blast. And it's just like, get to do what I want, you know? I can't, I really can't complain. I do live a good life.
Mm-hmm.
I do live a healthy life, you know, but that's because my mentality is, like, I'm going to go for mine. If I want a mansion, I'm going to go for it. If I want 3 cars, I'm going to have it. If I want, like, I see it. I don't know what it is, but God will show me, and I see it. And they'd be like, that's going to be me, and I see it. It's mine. I'm going to take it. You know what I'm saying? Like, just, it's like, you know, and that's just what it is. I'm on go mode. The moment I wake up, it's like, that's all I need. That's all I needed to do was wake up.
That's nice.
Thank you so much. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Well,
anybody else have any questions?
Appreciate.
Everybody good?
Reverend Parks. Sergeant Parks, you good?
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes, we can. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And I got a question. Did your grandmother have anything to do with where you think you are now?
Yeah. Yes. My grandma on my dad's side was heavy in the church, and she used to take me to church in my single-digit years. She passed away when I was 8 years old. And, you know, that's the only reason why I did pray, you know. I was too young to know if I was real or not, but I still remember being in the church. And for some reason, praying, like, never, like, left. It was, like, implemented in my spirit. I don't know if I say that right, but that's just, you know, where it was. And so, like, yeah.
Amen.
Devin, I got one last question, Deb. What advice would you give to a young person at a rebellious stage, you know, in their life, you know, don't want to listen to their mama, don't want to listen to their daddy, feeling some kind of way? What advice would you give them? What kind of good advice you would give them as far as not leaving home and having patience? Speak to that people.
I would build a relationship with them before I give them advice. And I would, in that relationship, I would teach them to love their authentic self and discover whom and what they are through the identity of Christ. And I would tell anybody, if you want to be a hero, stay at home. Love your children. Those are the biggest heroes, because a stable home is what creates greatness for our generation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on.
Pastor Don, you have anything you want to say before?
Hey,
Loretta. Pastor Don? Okay. Anybody else have anything else? I know Devin's got to go. He's a working man now, not a work in progress. He's a working man. So.
Okay.
Okay. We want to thank Devin for telling his story, for hanging out with us this evening.
Thank you, Devin.
Human Trafficking Hotline. It's 888-373-7888, or you could text 23733 if you feel like, if you can get to a phone and can make a call, text 233733. Again, that National Human Trafficking Hotline is 888-373-7888. If you see someone out there that, hey, ask for help, you know, take charge, take control. I was watching a movie, as a matter of fact, the other day, and this woman was being kidnapped, and she told the woman at the restaurant, you know, she just mouthed, help, you know, help. And it was on a Chicago Fire or Chicago Med series. It's like, this is perfect timing, you know. So if anybody's out there, and if you don't have a phone, you know, just mouth help, or, you know, give somebody a signal that you need help, that you're being trafficked. And so, again, that traffic, human traffic number is 888-373-7888, or text 233-733. I'm going to ask anybody else have any questions or have any comments. That was an excellent story. I was glad that I was able to come back on. I was just so glad he was able to come back on and tell his story. Sergeant Parks, do you have anything you want to say?
Hey, that was right on track, you know. My question always after one of these heartfelt episodes is, what the heck are we going to do about it? You know,
right.
That's my question. I quit joining the choirs and stuff because the choirs are, you know, sound beautiful at church, but, you know, we need some help out here. A lot of the ministers don't do the neighborhoods no more, you know, and I'm not saying spit about that. But this is the thing. What are we going to do about it? You have to know somebody that's feeling that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good introduction and stuff as to how they can seek help, you know. So, hey, I love it. Congratulations, Devin. You know, hey, man, that was really a hell of a story. I can't wait to meet you.
Thank you, Sergeant Parks.
Excuse me.
Oh, I was just going to go down the line. Go ahead, Reverend Ron, if you want to say something.
No, I would just, you know, want Devin to, you know, say something to the mega Republicans, you know, and let them know that
he's gone.
Oh, he's gone.
He's gone.
Okay, he's gone now.
He had to go to work. Yes, it was. Because I wasn't sure he was going to be on. It's like I was calling and checking in to see if he was coming, and he says they called me and forced me into work. So we were lucky to have him for the time we had him. Laquita, you want to say anything?
Yeah, what I think my response and my thoughts is the same for everybody. It was I appreciated the ability for him to tell his story and to be so transparent. And even though I've spoken to him before some years ago, it still gave me when he shared, it was like I think one of the ladies said earlier, it's one thing to know it by hearing it from, you know, a distant place, like maybe hearing it on the news or hearing bits and pieces of the story. It's another thing to hear somebody who has actually lived it, go through it, and talk about it. And it gives you, you know, you want to know where your family is. You want to hold them a little closer and be watchful. You know, everything, you see the young girls, you're in the airport and you see all these things that don't look right, that don't feel right, that gives you that gnawing in your stomach, and knowing, you know, I remember him saying, you know, they came with this opportunity and I wasn't, you know, I didn't have this, I didn't have that, I didn't come from this, I didn't come from that, so I jumped at the chance, and it reminded me when I was raising my children and they were little, I wanted to make sure that I validated my children. Because I didn't want them going out. I didn't want "I love you" to be for them to hear that from some jackleg somebody who has some ill-gotten gains intention for them. So I wanted to validate them and try to give them what I necessarily didn't have, and I was learning as I went. But it's important. It's very important that as parents, our children didn't ask to come here. And so we have to validate our children. And because if we don't, somebody else will, and it will be the wrong validation, which will, I think the guy that was on here, his sister was trafficked in the 70s, and it affected her whole life. And it didn't just affect her life, even though she was living it, and she's gone through the incarceration and the drugs and whatever. Her family lives it. My family lives it. Uh-huh. Your family lives it. We go through it. So I applaud him for telling his story, and I hope that there were people listening tonight who if you're involved in sex trafficking, if you, you know, find a way, you know, find a way to freedom. If you are, if you're the, mm-hmm. if you're the recruiter, you know, find a way to freedom. Find a way to freedom. Mm. It's a lot. It definitely gives you, it gives you a lot to think about, and I hope that all of the people who are on this call, I hope that, that this story gives you a sense of renewal. And I don't even know what everybody does on this line. I have no idea, but I hope that it gives you a sense of renewal that I need to do something. And it may not be that, but we all have a role to play. You know, everybody can't hold up a sign and pick it. But everybody has a role to play. And I think that uh-huh. we have to all find out what that is and do our part to make a difference in this world.
Okay, thank you. Reverend Mon, you want to, I know you was asking about the Republicans. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Well, yeah, I noticed this week, looking at mm-hmm. The news, a lot of Republicans, MAGA Republicans, went down to Eagle Step, Texas, and there was a ganged up in convoys and motorcycle gangs. Just Republican fest, and they went down there to combat the invasion because they had been told that it was a great invasion down there, and they said trafficking was going on, women were being trafficked in children, and they was going down there to stop the invasion. All of these people, I'm talking about miles and miles. Abbott, the governor of Texas, called for the gathering, you know, to stop, to come back. 26 states with National Guard came down to do a civil war and stop the invasion. Well, after mm-hmm. being there for 3-4 days, they asked the lady, you know, what was she doing there? She said she didn't know why she was there. And they asked them, they said, how many people got through the border? You know, because, you know, all of them gathered up down there to stop the invasion, sex trafficking, what this young man was talking about, and fentanyl, and all of the illegal crimes that the Republicans, Mike Johnson, and all the MAGA Republicans said that was going on the border. Well, all those people came from everywhere. And there was no invasion. So all of the Trumpers who came from all over the country got firsthand notice that these people are notorious liars. Now the reason why I say that is because they got one lady from Georgia. She's always talking about trafficking. She's always calling the Democrats pedophiles and all of just terrible names. Well, today it came out on her that she had been, you know, molesting young ladies now, and having sex with them and all this kind of thing. So I was wanting Devin to speak to MAGA Republicans, you know, about how hypocrisy is it's terrible on their part when it comes to this trafficking thing. You know? Look at all those people came from all over the country, from work, took off work, you know, and convoys, and they down on the border to fight a civil war with America.
But, Reverend, listen.
Yeah.
It's plain. Just follow the money. What do they have? What are they getting behind? Guns just killing everybody every day, my God.
Okay? Yeah.
Fentanyl is rampant in this country. You hardly even hear anything about it. It's inundated every city, you know. Seems like
yeah.
to me, and we know where it's coming from. It's coming from China, okay,
yeah.
coming straight up from Mexico, you know, And then mm-hmm. the trafficking deal. All of these things make billions and trillions of dollars. You know, is that the reason they're not saying anything about this? It's because maybe some of the money is rubbing off on them, you know? Some of the dark money is rubbing off on them.
Could be what it is because, you know, they sure had been talking about it, you know, and that's what got my attention because, you know, the Republicans were talking about it. You know, and they just been talking about it for the last 11 months, I know. And, you know, and they was talking so hard. They want to blame, you know, President Biden for everything that's going on. Said he had a part in all that. But he did have a part in that because he passed a bill. He passed a bill. He signed off, willing to sign off on a bill that the Republicans have been arguing about for 11 months to stop the trafficking. They said we need to close the border to stop the trafficking, to stop the sexual and the fentanyl for the last 11 months. So legislation, they brought it to the table, both a bipartisan bill. And do you know the same Republicans for the last 11 months that have been crying about the border called for a civil war? People from everywhere came. There was no invasion, and they refused to sign the bill. What do you think about that? I wanted Devin to speak to you.
Yeah, it's something, man. It's really something. People need to open their eyes, but a lot of people feel helpless. You know, they understand the situation, but they can't fight. You can't fight City Hall. And look at all the money and stuff that we're up against, you know. If we stop going to some of these places where the money is propping it up, then we might get a change. If we start standing together for what we know is wrong, if we start standing together for what we know is wrong, okay, and putting emphasis on that, okay, and you got people that think, oh, my vote don't count. When the last time you voted? Oh, I voted in 1997, last time I voted. You know, I mean, it's just, God have mercy. But I see the light at the end of the tunnel. As long as we can keep meeting, as long as we can keep meeting like this, as long as, you know, just think about how much knowledge we got together. And that kid he brought, he's not a kid, but he brought some more power to us to the table, okay, because he's gotten out and he's doing well. That's what our young people need to be hearing. Our young people, they feed off each other, you know, they need to be hearing this, and we need to be telling them that just what, you know, you can do it, you know. You're not a second-class citizen, you know. Everybody thinks, especially black folks, think, oh, I'm second-class citizen, you know. No, you're not going to be.
Yeah.
You don't have no voice. If you don't have no voice and you don't use the voice that you have, then you're just an object.
A tingling, a sounding, sounding, whatever you want to call it. Tinkling sound.
Tinkling sound in bass and tinkling sound.
I'm trying to tell you.
You're just loud.
Hey, Miss Inez. Miss Inez.
Hey, Reverend Ron. Yes.
would you speak to the sergeant that came on the other night and see what he says about all of those poor people that came from all over America down to Eagle Step, Texas? I'd like to hear what he's saying. I'd like to hear him say something to Abbott about calling all those people, the truckers and all that kind of stuff, the farmers, all the people back up woods. He called them out, told them, say, bring your guns, and they came with all of this stuff. I'd like to hear what Sergeant would say, anything about the trafficking that was stopped or the invasion, you know, because he was really gung-ho about people coming over here, taking over the jobs, taking over the land, and taking over the farmers' houses. And say, I'd really like to hear what he say to the trafficking piece that's going on down there on the border, because there was no invasion. Nobody came and nobody brought nobody. Nothing happened.
Oh, hell,
when he comes back, when Sarge comes back on the show, and hopefully you'll be on the show as well, you can ask him that question. You have anything else you'd like to say, Reverend Ron?
No, thank you.
Okay. To the Bennett, do you have anything you want to say?
I think you have Reverend Ron tickled right about now. He is really tickled. I'm gonna let him have a joyous moment. I can't cut in there. It's joyous. Wow. That's all right, Brother Ron. Let that joy shine. Too. I do have
Pastor Betty. Hold on, Pastor Betty. Ma'am. You went on the show the other day when Reverend Ron and Sarge were on the phone. It was just very loud. That's all I got to say. Very loud. That's why he's laughing. Mm.
And that's why you're
that's why he's
Sarge.
Laughing.
Why?
Sarge is very loud. I mean, he is so loud. It's like I had to ask him one time, you have high blood pressure, because he was just so boisterously loud. So I don't know if he's out there listening, but Sarge, if you want to join us this evening, you're more than welcome to, so you could defend your honor. But yes. Mm-hmm.
Please
go
do,
ahead,
Sarge.
Pastor Betty.
I did have one question. I know that Devin is his name is off the line now and back to work. But the one question that I would have, and I don't know if he wants to be asked that question or not, and that would be, you know, once he was set free, were there any charges brought against anyone that placed him in this position? Were depositions ever taken? What, if anything? I did hear mention that there was an FBI agent at some point in time that somehow got involved in the situation. So what type of corrective actions were taken in this regard?
Well, when there's a sting, you know, you get sent to jail regardless, because they've been watching you and been, you know, so on and so forth. So that's what happened as far as that, because anytime there's a sting, you get taken to jail. And so I don't know what actually happened to the Haitians, but I'm sure something happened to the Haitians. You know what I'm saying? So, I know every time they have a sting here. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Every time they have a sting here in Tampa of some sort, a sex ring, drugs, guns, whatever, you know, these people go to jail. And as a matter of fact, I worked with this man who was a sexual predator. Had no idea I worked with him. He was the nicest man, whatever. He had 190 counts of child pornography.
Wow.
190 counts of child pornography. And we would have never known. I mean, I worked with him for quite a while and never would have known. His wife divorced him, and he's not going to get out of jail, but 190 counts of child pornography. He's not going anywhere. So, we were all shocked at work. We were all shocked
at
work.
That's a big business,
too. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a big business.
Oh, it is. As a matter of fact.
Go ahead.
Hold on before you go. As a matter of fact, there was three men that were taken to jail because they tried to get this young autistic boy to come to them.
Oh.
That was just like the last couple of days. This autistic, I want to say he was 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old, to come to them. An autistic boy. Three men. So, you know, it is rampant. It is just disgusting. It is, you know, they're cracking down, and as a matter of fact, DeSantis wants to crack down on anybody sleeping in the streets and, you know, not having a place to, you know, anyway. He wants to crack down and make a bill number, I think, State Bill 135, 16 something. So, you know, people are cracking down, but if you don't have anywhere to go, where do you go?
He's going to build him a mansion. He's got to have somewhere for him to go.
Probably Disney is where you have him go. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
If you guys
would look at those people and stuff that's getting caught with this child pro, look at such professionals they are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly. That's where I'm going with that.
Yeah, very professional people, like right here in this county and stuff. In the last 3 or 4 years, they've been principals, doctors, you know, law enforcement people. You know, I think the FBI busted a couple of years ago a ring of those people and stuff. Arizona, from Arizona and stuff to Oregon and Washington State and California, you know.
We're all talking at the same time, girl. Good.
No, go ahead, Pastor Betty. Go ahead, Pastor Betty.
He was really actually talking exactly where I was headed, because I'm going with the thing. Yes, they arrested a lot of people. You know, number one, will this gentleman have to go back and to trial to testify against them, or vice versa? Will this capture of these individuals lead to the capture of others? There's got to be some tie to something else. And there's a bigger picture at the top. I mean, how else can stop this except that people become maimed in a situation like this? And is he afraid that as people become maimed, that it may affect him in some negative way? And, of course, he's not here to answer it, but I have those questions for him. Because
usually when there's a sting, I don't know why you'd have to testify, because they have already got evidence on you. So why would you, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm thinking. I'm going to look it up while you all are talking and find out, you know, when there's a sting, what happens to those who are stung?
They get to tell on others.
The law also states that you need to face your accuser. You see?
Right.
So that's why a lot of times the stuff that happens, unless you plead guilty and don't have to go to no trial and go ahead on and get your thing. But and the FBI, they know they better have their T's crossed and their I's dotted, because they have made millions of mistakes. You know.
Right.
Millions of mistakes and stuff. In fact, some of the mistakes they were making, I'm thinking that they were set up to do that. You know, just like people listening to Netanyahu in Israel. You know, it's odd. It's very odd.
It is very odd, but I do believe, and you know, I do believe that, you know, Devin's group was a group of 16. But if that leads to another group of 16 more individuals that are leading this type of activity, and thus some others being set free, and that leads to 16 others, I mean, we can make some progress up the chain, right? I did hear somebody say, you know, what are we going to do about this? Well, I don't know what Devin's obligations are going to be. Has this already gone to trial? Have they already been you know, found guilty? Have they already been sentenced, or were they given a bond that's free? You know, how does he feel about that? And if he is called to be a, you know, witness, not a witness for them, but against them, is there any apprehension on his part in doing so? Or does he know others? You know, outside of the ones that were captured, does he know that there were others and he knew them? You know, it's kind of an interesting twist.
Yes, yeah, that's a good question. Good question.
You know, I have one thing that we can do, and it's very, very simple. You know, go to your elected official.
Find out what
your elected official, the people that you done voted for, find out how they voted on those major issues. Find out how they voted. And if they didn't vote according to what you think the majority of your community needs to be doing and stuff, then you write them letters. You do the letter writing campaign. That's what we're learning to do here in our branch of the NAACP, that we're going to start writing thousands of letters and stuff to these people and stuff.
Right.
That way we can at least do something. A lot of people just talk, and they don't do nothing but talk. You know?
And sometimes all it takes is to get one letter in the right hand of the right person. That's all it takes.
And get a whole bunch of letters. That's what politicians listen to. Get a whole bunch of letters. Are they constituents now? They don't care about what the opposition is doing. You know, the opposition can write letters all day to them. It ain't going to change not one bit, you know. But if we did this strategically, okay, on what's hurting us, what's hurting American humanity? Guns, sex trafficking, drugs. If we were really passionate about this, do one something, one something and stuff.
Don't just complain about it, be about it. Yeah, that does make sense. It really does. However, the truth of the reality of the truth is, a lot of those letters, they just go into file 9, and that's unfortunate. Maybe specific to what part of the country we live in, but a lot of them look at those type of letters as this is a waste of my time. I mean, they do, nothing ever happens with it. I don't know of any squad, you know, where I am here or nothing. I mean, it's discussed I hear about it on the news, but I hear nothing down the archives or in the house or, you know, nothing about any type of bill being written to try and deter that or to try and stop it altogether or any fines being set forth of anyone who is, you know, captured in that type of activity. I don't hear anything about it. That's why it's so interesting tonight.
May I read this?
Mm-hmm.
This is one human trafficking. It says three Disney workers, school athletic director among 219 arrested in Florida, human trafficking sting. Three Disney employees, a school athletic father who left his one-year-old home alone to have sex, were among 219 people arrested in a major human trafficking bust in Florida, authorities say on Thursday. And that was, in September. The seven-day undercover operation earlier this month led to 44 felonies and 242 misdemeanor charges against the dozens of suspects, 35 of whom were suspected of being in the county illegally. Polk County Sheriff Brady Judge said during a news conference. Overall, 83 suspects were charged for soliciting prostitution or traveling to the undercover location to negotiate having sex in exchange for money, the sheriff said.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie Escalona, 30, and Maria Guzman, 36, were charged most severely with the human trafficking due to Operation Traffic Stop 2 that started September 19th. Another 17 suspects were accused of collecting money from prostitution to helping prostitutes conduct business. Caught up in the sting were three Disney workers, including a security guard, custodian, and training coordinator, Judge said. What would an op be if we didn't arrest someone employed by Disney, Judge Quip? That's Judge Grady. Vanguard School Athletic Director Russell Rogers, who also is an Avondale High School REAL Academy teacher in the county, was arrested for allegedly soliciting a prostitute. The married father of three was also a former youth football coach, Judge said. This dude now is coaching in county jail, he said. I can't believe we want somebody like that around our children. Polk County Schools told Fox 13 they were disappointed to learn of the allegations against Rogers and were moving to fire him. Part of being an educator is understanding that you are held to a higher standard for your actions in the classroom as well as the community, the school system said in a statement. These charges don't involve students, and Rogers was not on duty as a teacher, but this kind of conduct still has no place in our school system. Among the more shocking allegations in the case was a father who left behind his one-year-old daughter to have sex, but allegedly insisted to investigators that the baby was being watched by the family dog. Another man bought his 15-year-old daughter, he shares with his ex-wife, to the area for her birthday, but instead left her in the motel room to have sex somewhere else, he said. 15-year-old. For her birthday, we arrested her dad, he said, and put him in the jail. Two women also dragged a 14-month-old child with them when they went to have sex, Judge alleged. While one woman was busy, the other woman watched the child. A couple of high-level executives at California-based companies also were arrested. One complained to sheriff's deputies as he was arrested. It is not the law to cheat on your wife, Judge said. The man whined. So he came here all the way from California to cheat on his wife, but he paid money to cheat on his wife. It's called prostitution. At least 21 possible human trafficking victims were identified out of the 119 alleged prostitutes who were taken into custody, the sheriff said. So that's somebody's got their mic on. There we go. So that was in Florida. This man came all the way from California to cheat on his wife in Florida. So you heard what was going on. Anybody want to comment? Hey, James, how you doing out there in the chat room? Yeah. Anybody else want to say anything? So that's what goes on a sting. They are charged, held, taken to a jail, and probably released, but are probably highly watched. Laquita, you got quiet out there. You want to say anything?
You know, I was thinking when you said when you talked about the sting in Orlando, that's where you're going to find a lot, the Disney World, the amusement park. That's where you find an abundance of young people, and not really watching them. Because they, you know, it's so much going on, so much excitement, and people are wondering. My family and I went to Orlando for the week before Christmas for my grandson's birthday, and you can see, you know, the parents walking, and then two or three steps behind them is the child.
or, you know, alone somebody and then you see, I mean, the predators, it's a haven for predators. So that isn't surprising. It's what do we do? What do we do? If we sit around, I can sit around and wait to see what everybody's going to do, but we all have a part to play, and we have to figure out what that part is and what can we do to make a difference. I may not be able to do a lot to make a difference in your community, but I can make a difference in my community, and I have to start right in my neighborhood, right where I live. And then it grows. So we each have to do. We have to do something. We can't do nothing.
I agree with that. But I'd like to say, how many on the phone here and around the world? How many of you all think that this conversation we're having disqualifies Donald Trump from being president?
We are not judge, jury, or executioner, so, you know, it doesn't matter what we say.
No, I'm just saying on the phone and around, you know, around the country, how many on the phone believe that this conversation that we're having disqualifies Donald Trump from being president of the United States? I just like to hear y'all
opinion. This conversation?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I would say, you know, that we wouldn't make it to the Supreme Court with the way we feel about it because, see, it'll be some lawful term for us not being able to bring this man, you know, to justice because, oh, well, this is just something that somebody said. But when the camera catches you saying, and then being with somebody and stuff, isn't that enough evidence?
It should be.
I mean, it make me think I'm crazy sometimes. Did he really say this? Did this person really say what he just said? You know, like the conversation about the white supremacists.
Mm-hmm.
Those people, it was some good people on both sides. Now you got people that are having a lawful march. They got a permit to march. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got these other nitwits over there attacking them. Okay, for saying what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody, and he comes on and he say, "Oh, it was some good people on both sides."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How am I supposed? I'm from the South. I'm from all the way down there, as far as you can get. Okay. I seen pine trees so tall and stuff, man. No.
Yeah.
So if it looks like a duck,
it quacks
it's
like
a
duck.
Duck.
Duck, man.
Yeah, so funny. Anybody else have any comments? Go ahead. Everybody comment?
Okay, I got a couple of things, a couple of notes that I wrote down for Devin for his session and stuff. And we talked about in conjunction with sex trafficking, and my question was to everybody, does prostitution promotes sex trafficking? That's just one, okay? That's just one question, okay? And another one that we asked, it didn't make sense. Somebody had that comment. It don't make sense. Well, my question is, if it don't make money, it don't make sense. Okay, if you don't make money, then it don't make sense. All right, just keep that one in mind like that. That's all like a euphemism. America today, 2024, February, it seems to me like we're for sale.
and not us. You know, it seems to me that we're for sale. Okay. Every darn thing go.
Well, that's what's happened.
And my last one is, if somebody, we talked about responsibility and stuff to be able to identify the trafficking and then to be able to see how we could do something about it and stuff. My question is, there seem to be a whole lot of people that know what's going on that want to take no responsibility until it affects them. When the shoe fit in your door, then, oh, no, them not my shoes. You know, so they don't have nothing to do with it. So that was what I took away from this session on trafficking and then spending a wonderful couple of hours with you guys. Wow, that was really invigorating. You know, one day I'm going to come on and I'm going to tell you guys about what I am doing. And I think it's, and I pat myself on the back, you know, and my wife, she wants to take the broom and hit me on the back because I keep raising my hand for different causes, you know. But that's who I am. You know, how can you say that you're concerned about something and stuff and not do something about it?
Right.
You know, we leave all of the emphasis that's been placed on setting back Black history, and you can't read this book, and you can't read that book, and oh, at the end of the day, DFI just seems to be a big problem in America. Okay? A huge problem. That word is a huge problem in America. Okay? Like, somebody don't want us to be diverse. They don't want us to be, you know, to feel the stuff that our voice and our word count, you know, and who we are count, okay? And they're hitting all the colleges and stuff. Oh, no, we don't do that. We should have never had this. We should have never had that. You know, the attack on these things and other things, a lot of us are going toward the Black community.
Exactly.
Okay. Because they feel that they can get away with it. Why? Because we still divided and conquered. Okay.
Oh,
that little girl asked me the other day, why, Mr. Parks, why do we, now she's 12 years old, she asked Mr. Parks, why are we celebrating Black history? How come we don't celebrate all the histories and stuff at one time? I said, okay, I want you to go back to school, go to the library, and I'm going to give you $100. I'll give you $100. If you go back to the library, and then in about 3 months, you come back and sit down with me and tell me what did you find in the library and stuff of Black culture and other people culture and stuff, you know. I said, but before you go to the library, you go online, go on your cell phone, okay, and do some research on your own. You see, it's just crazy. It's crazy. For the fact that we had a Black president, we got a Black vice president, we don't need nothing else. We don't need nothing else Black. Okay? Nothing Black, no matter what. Now, mamas and daddies and stuff, y'all can't even be Black no more. Okay?
Wow.
How many kids you have? You can't be Black. You can be anything but Black. Okay? And you might get some attention. Oh, and you could be European to come over here in this country, but you better not come from south of the border over here. And they don't care what's happening in your country. They don't care if the dictator is lining people up and shooting them by the thousands. Okay? What's going on, guys? What's going on?
Well, Sergeant, number one, God has to be all in all, even in right now time. Second thing is God's people should take their deposits away from people and not let them circulate their deposit with redlining. They should,
that's good.
God's people should take the things that God has blessed them with monetarily, I'm talking, and circulate it within God's people venues. Now, God's people is no one certain color, but God's people lives by God's kingdom laws and righteousness. When God's people, when they really be set apart, all right, the word is sanctified by the Holy Ghost, but sanctified means set apart. When you're set apart about God's spirit, but then he takes away the craving of the world from you. And the spirit of the world don't lead you with the attributes of the sinful nature. But it causes you to be in a stage of purification, pure. And your attention and your craving is no longer lust of the eyes, pride of life, and lust of the flesh. That's not leading you anymore. The spirit of truth of God is leading you, and when that leads you, then there's justice for everybody and more than enough. But we, too, have to pull our deposits. We have to pull our deposits and close the gap. And as a nation of people in the United States, we must build together, not kill one another, but build together with what God has given us already. Show them, like every other nation come here and show them, like they came here from Europe and show everybody, well, we must work together, pull our deposits from their depositories and put it into our own depository. Then we can make a difference in the family lives in our community where the children don't have to resort to the streets because mama got to work three jobs, daddy got to work three jobs. Well, if we have prevailing wages because we build systems where it works for everybody, then we'll combat a lot of the devil's doing as the children of God, and he'll see to it. Because he was the one that said, we're the city that sit up on the hill that cannot be hid. So I think that when we, God's people, because the scripture did say, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, notice God said, my people, now that's not no racial barrier or ethnicity hang up, but he said, my people, all of those people that love God, believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, he said, if they come together and they humble themselves, get away from the pride, get away from the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh. He said, if they humble themselves and turn, repent and turn from their wicked ways, child trafficking, all of this kind of stuff, the sinful things, the law, that the law was made for the lawless, those carrying out those deeds. Well, if God's people turn, the Bible say, and repent, then God will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal the land. The land needs a healing. The people in the land needs a healing. But then there must be togetherness with pulling the finances out of the hand of the people that don't appreciate you. And circulate your money among yourselves. Circulate it among yourselves. See how that helps you. How you build up the communities, build up the people in the communities. Help one another. Help one another get their credit together and all of this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is what love produces. Love produces embracing one another, whether I have $100 or whether I have two. I'm still important. And when we see people, God's people, as being important, then we'll share more, we'll be willing to share more, we'll be willing to give more. I notice when people run across people they think that's important, they ready to give their head off their necks. They are. When they come across somebody they think that's highly important, they'll do anything to prove to that person that they know they're important, you know? So we must, God's people must always look at one another as important and you're valuable because, number one, God made you, like he made me. So what do? When we get it right with God, then we will have a good success. When we get it right with God, we'll have good success. And that's the whole world, not just for us. Jesus didn't just die for mm-hmm. us, but the whole world. And some of this stuff will stop when we do what God asked us to do as his people. We know the other people that's out there that love lying and would rather believe a lie than the truth. We know those people, they're bound for hell, a lot of them, because they made up in their mind that's the way they're supposed to be. And Jesus did say it would happen, you know. So mm-hmm. I think once we pull our deposits from out of their depositories and start putting it into our own, then we can come together in unity, make plans for our communities, and build that city that sit up on the hill and live in it until Jesus comes, because you're going to have perpetual wealth, I'm telling you. Let me just share this. You don't have to be on the main stage to be a main stage participant. Now, my everyday life, because I love God, I love justice and doing what's right, and I do it with the best of my abilities with what I work with, my everyday life is Oscar. So that means you don't have to do the wrong thing for God to take mm-hmm. you, which is his creation, and put you where he wants you to be. Because if he put you there, he put you there for a reason that others may see his power that works through us who are true worshipers. So nobody have to really leave home too early, because if you're running away from home in rebellions, you're going to run into problems. You know, if you run away from home because you don't want to listen to mama, listen to daddy, you're liable to get caught up in some kind of scheme or trafficking or something like that, because the spirit that's guiding you is not the right spirit. It's the wrong spirit. And if you're following the wrong spirit, it could lead to trouble or death. So it needs to be some clarity brought together. Now, I heard tell of a person saying, once upon a time, said that people from the country, way back out there, the young ladies go to these stores where a lot of these Indian men run and so on and such here in America, and Asian men and white men too. So they go to the stores and they offer them a trip to New York or some big city. And the young ladies, young men do take them. And when they send them there to this luxurious place they show them pictures of, well, then that's when they get caught up with the traffickers. But they leave home, not at gunpoint. Somebody picked them up and threw them in the back of the truck and drove them off. Some of them leave home. Uh-huh. They think going for the opportunity in the bright lights and big city they've been shown by those people that does that stuff. So, again, if God's people, which is us, if we would humble ourselves away from the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, then God can mm-hmm. use us for something greater than what's going on, and we could change a lot of things in the earth. And we must pull our deposit out of the depository so they can quit counting all the money, because they can't count. That's why we got a $34 trillion deficit.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is.
That is funny. Anybody else care to elaborate or say anything? Y'all going to get quiet on me now, or is it late for y'all? I just appreciate everybody being here, of course.
You know it's late for me.
Now, this has been a wonderful, wonderful discussion, and I am going to have to bid you all a good night. Because I know how y'all roll.
Yeah, no, we're not rolling. We're not going to roll past the next 15 minutes. We're not going to roll past 12 o'clock tonight. Not unless somebody just has some more conversation they want to say. Pastor Betty, Apostle Chris, you have anything?
No, I can. By State 40 here in Little Rock, it runs all the way from the East Coast to the West Coast. And that is, a few years ago, they bust a 18-wheeler. It was Love truck stop. Had nothing but humans in it. They was here on the Interstate 40. They were taking them to the West Coast. And they have opened up a lot of people that is being trafficked. And they are looking for people. These young people that's being trafficked. And like I said, Love Truck Stop and Howard 40 is the biggest trafficking is because it runs all the way from the East Coast to the
West. Just straight across the whole United States, huh?
Reverend Ryan.
Who?
Reverend Ryan. I remember that.
Oh, he left. He dropped already. He just dropped.
Oh, okay.
He just dropped, but yep. But no, I just appreciate all y'all for joining us this evening again. That National Human Trafficking Hotline is 888-373-7888. Text 233-7333. Anybody have any announcements? Sergeant Parks, Laquita, Pastor, Apostle?
Well, I will say that I am... Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dad.
Oh, I'm going to say that I'm real elated and I'm challenged by my daughter twisting my arm and stuff to be a part of the anthology, and I'm sitting up here and I got pages written all and stuck all over the wall for my wife coming to my cave. She thinks that she needs to call a doctor because there's something wrong with me. But no, I am real excited. I'm real excited about this. In fact, I sent the email to other people and stuff that I know, and they're saying, "Wow, that sounds cool." I'm saying, "Yeah, who gonna help?" You know. But it's challenging. And
nobody.
One thing I felt tonight. I felt the night and stuff, especially with that first question. They asked him, how did he find God? I keep remembering that. He found God through his grandparents. When I was coming up 3 years old, my grandparents were God. My grandmother was God to us. So I can recognize that particular point, you know. Because something always leads to something else, and having these kinds of discussions and stuff is really honing. So I'm going to say good night to you people, and I will be joining you soon. And I love everybody.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Sergeant Park. Quee, you got any last words?
Yeah, I was gonna say the just excited to have to be working on so many amazing projects. Outside of the one that we just finished earlier, November last year, but she said yes to herself unapologetically. She said yes to herself unapologetically. I am working on several other projects. One that my dad was talking about, it's a men's anthology, and it's men only, and the topic is our journey from boys to men, things we learned along the way. So I'm looking forward to that story. And also veterans, working on the third veterans anthology called The War Within. So for the people who are listening and for the men that are on the call, if you're interested in being a part of the men's anthology, we have space for 5 more. And if you're a veteran, male or female, and you are interested in being in the anthology and sharing your story, please reach out, contact me. The men's anthology is set to launch. It will release on Father's Day. And the anthology for the veterans this year will release for Memorial Day.
Amen. Amen. So if you want to get in contact with Ms. Laquita, you can either send me an email at letsdoitradio@gmail.com or Laquita. How do you want them
to? Or you can message me through my website, and that's at PayProV Publishing, PAPROVI Publishing.com.
Okay. So you all
thank
you making a plea. So men, you know, hey, you got some good men out there. If I can write a little bit about my little raggedy behind self, my little story. I think everybody has a story and everybody has a story. So you just need to write yours, as I would say, unapologetically. So get your paper out, get your pens out, and start writing. And then get in contact with Ms. Laquita, be you men or be you veterans, so that you can help her get her projects to fruition. So you heard the deadline, the timeline, and so on and so forth. So thank you, Laquita. Again, that's PayProV, was again, publishing@gmail.com?
No, PayProVPublishing.com.
Oh, PayProVPublishing.com. Okay.
Yes.
If you can't remember that, letsdoitradio@gmail.com, so then I can always forward your information to her. She'd be more than welcome to receive that information. Thank you, guys. It was a great night, great, great, great night. As I was saying earlier, thank you to Devin, if he's out there listening. I know he had to go, and he just hated that he had to go because he was trying to get the night off so he could spend the evening with us. But, you know, duty calls, as they say. So I was glad that he was able to take that time to join us. I want to wish everybody happy birthday, whose birthday is today or either in the past or coming up. So happy birthday early. And on Wednesday night, Reverend Ronnie Marshall will be bringing Bible study. That's February the 7th, February 8th. Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. We're going to talk about Let's Go Green with Tara Clean. We're talking the product side and the financial side. So join us. This biodegradable, eco-friendly product that you can use for earthing. That's what I said. Brush your teeth, wash your hair, wash your body, wash your clothes. I mean, it's like, So basically, it's good for everything. I mean, everything. So I should be getting mine on the 10th so I can really promote the product even Mobetta, MOBETTAH, so that we can become part of this million-dollar, billion-dollar industry and get ours, so for generational wealth and health and everything else. So thank you all for joining us on Thursday, on the 11th Sunday, February 11th, the second Sunday. Pastor J. Rick Rollins will be bringing the message, and he always brings a message. He's out of Tampa from the Edge Community Church of Central Florida, so please join us. Again, Reverend Ronnie Marshall, please support him in purchasing his music, and please go out there on YouTube and watch The Barber of Little Rock, which is up for an Oscar for the Best Short Documentary. He made the short five list, so say prayers for him. And then again, as Laquita and I was talking about, the number one international best-selling authors in the U.S. and the U.K. for She Said Yes to Herself Unapologetically. It's an anthology of 31 wonderful women writing their stories and putting them out there in an anthology. You can get a copy. If you're in the same city as one of us, it's $25. Otherwise, from me, it's $31, and that includes shipping and handling, and you can get a signed copy. So thank you to each and every one of you. Again, thank you to Devin Tucker for telling his harrowing story and for the surviving, and for all my worldwide listening audience. You can always go back and listen to his story through me, through www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do It Radio. Let's take that. Let's get numbers out there. Tell everybody about it. Tell your friends, cousins, relatives. Put it out there on blast. It's an excellent story, and we need to know more. And he was able to survive the torment and just the tumultuous life up until now, as he is 36 years old. So thank you again, Devin, if you're out there listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you got something on your chest, hey, let's get it off on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and let's talk about it with Miss Inez Says. Let's talk about it. You know me. I have been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais.coop Designs. You can follow me, find me, and get me on under the same Anais.coop, either Facebook or Instagram. And the encouraging words of the week are, change is not a storm that uproots us, but a breeze that sets us free. Let me say that one more again. Change is not a storm that uproots us, but a breeze that sets us free. So I'm going to thank you guys again for staying with me, hanging out, to all the people who joined us, Sergeant Parks, Pastor Don, Laquita Parks, Reverend Ali, Terry Rabb, Reverend Ron, the Bennett's Apostle, Chris and Pastor Betty. We had some other people who I didn't get their names, and Joe was out there as well, and as I said, Pastor Don and myself, and James out there in the chat room. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to end on keep your head to the sky, because that's what we need to do, but keep it on a swivel so you know what's going on. Thank you again. Have a blessed night, a blessed weekend, and just stay safe, and look out, because you never know who might be trafficking. have a good evening. Until we meet again, stay safe. Love each other. Love on each other. Forgive your friends, your loved ones before you lay your head down, because you never know if you may not see them again. Thank you again for joining us on Miss Inez Says Let's Talk About It, Human Trafficking, Male Survivorship, the Devin Tucker Story. And you want to hear it again, please go back on the www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do It Radio. Look for the episode, click on it, scroll down, and press play. Thank you again for joining us. Have a good evening. Love you. Bye-bye.